Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be together, isn't it? Amen.
Amen.
This is my Bible. It's changed my life. And sure, it's changed many of your lives. And we know the power of Jesus and what he can do when we say yes to him and allow him into our lives. We, seeing it's Father's Day, I thought it was a good idea. Well, not my idea, God's idea, is that husbands love your wives. The title of my message is Stepping Up to the Plate. The biggest thing that this world faces is fatherlessness, isn't it? Would we all agree? Fathers have deserted their family, their wives. Now, some of you may even think, well, what's that got to do with me? My spouse is gone, they're dead, they've gone, that's it. But I thank God for one thing in my life, for a godly wife. My wife's down there, I can't see her. She's there, wave your hand. There you are. Who also challenges me when I've got the wrong end of the stick. When I think back at our early years following Jesus, there was a man that came across my path, and his name was Ernie, and he didn't drive the fastest milk cart in the West. I know that some of you were thinking that, but he was a very, very godly man, and he mirrored Jesus before me. And something I didn't see in my own home. I didn't see that with my dad. Some of you who were at the men who were there at the breakfast when I spoke, also remember that my dad would go away on Friday night and we wouldn't see him till Sunday. Mine is his pay packet. And some of these things I want to share this morning are some that I have drawn from my own personal experience and what God has had to do in my life as a dad and as a father, and where I've had to step up to the plate and be the man of God that he has called me to be. Well, we're going to turn to Ephesians. Shane, it's your turn to come and read to us from God's word. And it's good to open God's word and see what it says. We can't change it or modify it because it doesn't suit our own intellectual concepts. God knows better than what we do. Would we all agree with that?
Yes.
Thank you, Shane.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, Shane.
This man behind me just breaks me in two. He was my pastor in another church, and I'm quite used to Calvin praying, and I'm quite used to seeing him just fall down in the middle of a service, full with the Holy Spirit, just cry before God. And he's right about the Bible. The Bible, if we're not reading it, we're in trouble. And sometimes when things aren't going right in my life, I quite agree. You've got to get into that word. And I asked him, could I have a quick, tell him that something happened. We both were in Woodville together. And the open air campaigners came to share, and they set up a caravan and they preached for 5 whole days. We read the Bible, and you had a slot, and all the churches in the surrounding districts, from Dannevirke to Paiatua out to Kumaroa, Woodville, we just came and put our in a slot, and we'd read the word night and day, and the Bible was read 3 or 4 times. And at the end they had a big movie, the Jesus movie, and people gave their hearts to Jesus. These guys, open air campaigners. I put my name down for 2, and I just wanted to share about the power of the Word of God. I turned up, I think it was early hours in the morning, and the street lights on, and a voice out of the caravan. And I got in there, and I took my place and started to read. And I was panicking, because I don't know about you, but when I read the Old Testament, there's words in there I can't pronounce. They're like wheelbarrow words, and they were into the New Testament. So I felt pretty great, and I sat down just me in the caravan, and not in the dark, but it was dark outside, reading the word for a whole hour. And I thought, that's terrific. And then when my hour was up, I looked to the left and I said, something hadn't turned up. Early hours in the morning, must have been sleeping, so I couldn't stop. I had to carry on. So for 2 hours, I continued to read the word of God into the streets of Woodville. Then I looked over to see who was coming in next, and there was a gap. So I read for 3 solid hours. I really enjoyed it, just sharing the word of God. Then a lady and her husband came in, and they were at what my wife's age is now. And she came in, she was wrapped up, and it was cold, and she had a scarf. She sat down, and she took my place. And her husband sat beside her and quietly prayed. And I was moved by the power of God speaking through someone that I only knew casually. And I went home, and then I had another slot in the afternoon. And this is really what I want to talk to you about. I started reading, and I can't remember what it was, but there was a guy on the other side of the street, and he turned and he shook his fist at me in the caravan, and he's yelling out, "Stop talking about me. Stop talking about me. You don't know me." And he started swearing. And I just kept on reading the word. The word was affecting not him, the spirit within him. And he went to the shop, came out, screamed and shouted, and then he left. So the word I'm going to read today from Ephesians may affect you. The door's that way if the spirit within you doesn't want to stay. I have to tell you, if you hear this word today that Calvin's asked me to share, and you think it doesn't concern you, I've got news for you. It does. And if it sits there in the word, affects you, it's meant to. And if you're sitting there and you want to jump up and go, "Hallelujah, it set me free," God bless you, because it meant to be. So if you want to go to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're starting at 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Chapter 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And 25. Husbands, Father's Day, here's a kicker. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And 26, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water of the word. 27, that he may present her to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And in 30, we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And in 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And in 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. God bless you all.
When we got married, I didn't realise that there would arise conflict, and there's always going to be conflict because you're two different people, aren't you, in a marriage. But one thing was foremost that Carolyn and I had in our minds, that we're going to serve Jesus. One of the other things is I wanted to be a godly man and I wanted to be a godly father. And I wanted to be a godly husband. But as I said, we came from different backgrounds. Carolyn grew up in a home where her father was an Air Force sergeant. Can you imagine how it was ran? I grew up in a home where you just glide in and glide out. Time is, well, it doesn't matter. And our first conflict was over this band concert. Oh my goodness me. Oh, band music, no. It was just something I just didn't, no, it wasn't me. And I was late. Do you remember it, Carolyn? I turned up late. And she said, "You didn't want to come, did you?" And it was true, I didn't want to come. But I was there. So I learned that we came from two different backgrounds. But I believe that God wanted to bless us. God wanted to use us. God wanted to minister in our lives. Because we were heading in the direction that God wanted us to be. And that was to be in a godly home. As husband and wife. Because it says, "Therefore shall a young man leave his father and cleave to his wife." Unfortunately for my mother, she didn't think that. She thought I should just stay home forever. This is where we come to the verse in Ephesians, where you think, well, what did Paul know about marriage? He wasn't married, but he knew the scriptures, didn't he? He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He knew what God had put in place in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. "In the beginning, God created them male and female." Genesis chapter 2. "It's not right," verse 18, "for a man to live alone." In verse 24, "Therefore shall a young man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And now that's very different from Hollywood's view or Tinseltown's view of marriage, isn't it? They've been married 6 weeks and already they're lowering the flag. When you think about Hollywood, it's so totally different than what we have as a Christian concept of what marriage should be when we read the Word of God. And that's the life-changing factor in our lives, isn't it? It's the Word of God that changes us. It changes it of what we, our perspective of what we think marriage is all about. Because God ordered it. For Adam in Genesis chapter 2, God chose him a bride. No choice about it. Adam just woke up one morning and he was married. You see, there was no other woman. Signed, sealed, delivered. That's it. Isn't that great? God knew who we should marry. Sometimes we just sort of take the law into our own hands and say, oh, I know what I'm doing. And it's like a jigsaw, isn't it? When you join together and it's not right, it breaks apart. And you try putting it back together, and it won't, if it's not the right puzzle, it won't fit, will it? But you see, God also knew that the marriage was going to be under attack. When you read Genesis 3, you see the serpent was subtle. He was very subtle. And he came and he spoke to Eve. And he said, hath God said? Hath God said? You won't die. You can eat of this fruit. And you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. You'll be able to tell. Now, Adam didn't step up to the plate, did he? He didn't step up to the plate and say to Eve, this guy is not on the level. He's a scuzz. He's just trying to trick us out of what God has given us. Because they had dominion over all that God had given them. And we know that Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. It was an open and shut case, wasn't it? And by then we can see that the world was coming apart. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, we see that Noah, the time of knowing, it says that this is it. I'm wrapping it all up. The world had become so despicable that God was going to wrap it all up, and there was only going to be 8 saved. But God still loved this creation. He still loved men and women. We were made in the image of our Creator God. Amen? And you look around today and you think, what is a good marriage role model for today? You certainly can't place it on the world or what Hollywood displays. We've looked back at generation after generation. We've struggled to find a role model for our children to say, yes, I can see it, what a good marriage, a good home should be. We are products of our environment. We see in this world, we've been victims of the sexual revolution, the homosexual revolution, and the women's liberation movement. And Hollywood's style of love is so different than what we read in Scripture. People have made movies about it. They've written songs about it. They've written books about it. I was raised in a home with country and western music. Yes. Who said yes? Oh no. Lord, deliver. No. Really. When I think, hearing songs like, we were only 24 hours from Tulsa. One day away from your arms. Well, that's not much of a role model, is it? We stopped into a motel. What does that tell you? For a marriage to be everything, it needs Jesus. Amen? It needs Jesus. Now we're going to get into God's word, and we're going to really see what this piece in Ephesians says. Have we got verse 21? It said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Some of us may look and think, well, it's the wife being submissive. No, it's not. It's the husband. It's putting away your agenda. and saying, if I'm going to step up to the plate, I'm going to be the man of God I should be, and how can I minister to my wife if I'm not a godly man? And I am really serious about that. Then this is what's absent in our society today, is men not stepping up to the plate and being the men of God that they should be. They've opted out and said, look, you can pray. You pray better than me. And they've left the wife to do it, to carry the can. That is some passion that I carry in my heart, in my soul, for men to be the men of God that they should be. We can't walk away from it. And am I willing to humble myself to minister to my wife? Can we have that piece, please? The triangle, thank you. Yep. There we are, we have it. What are we looking at? We've got the wife and the husband. The closer a husband and wife get to Jesus, the closer they get to each other. I know that's true. I know that's true. When I've got out of tune with Jesus, we just drifted apart. And it's as we get closer to each other. God wants to knit us together. Now, I know that some of you may think, I carry my own toolkit. Don't carry your own toolkit. It doesn't work. You need God's toolkit. It's better than ours. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You see, it's the role and the duty of the husband, and it's quite clear in Scripture, it's not to dominate or to rule over the wife. It's putting aside your agenda to minister and to be the man of God you should be. Because it says, husbands, love your wives. Because he said, that's what Christ did, didn't he? He left the Father to come to earth. It wasn't about him. It said, I'm prepared to be a human being and die upon a cross so that we would be redeemed. Amen. We are his creation. And we can use this word love. Husbands, love your wives. In the English, there's only one word for love, isn't there? Correct? I love you. No, we've got to go back and see what this was written about when Paul was writing this. Because the Greeks had four words for love. Do we know what they are? Agape, eros, phileo, yes. The city of, it comes from the derivative of Philadelphia, brotherly love. And storge, a natural love. The affection of a parent. The word there that's used for love is agape. It's a selfless love, a most intense love, a divine love. And I picked this up a few years ago, a love that chooses best for your life. Isn't that good? A love that chooses best for your life. But it's God's intention for his creation to know that we are to be like him. Amen? To be all that God wants us to be as husbands. And Christ's love for us is so powerful in the sense of knowing of who he is and what he is, that he is so much higher than we are. And this kind of love is the kind of love that a husband and wife should show to each other. His love, which is so much higher than our love. As I said, I grew up in a non-Christian home. I didn't see that kind of love. I only saw my parents arguing and fighting. And by the time I was a young man, I was very angry. Rejection filled my heart and my soul. because my father wasn't interested. Imagine if I'd gone down that same track and married somebody, I would have carried that into that relationship. But I am grateful to one thing, is that my wife challenged me and said, before my dad died, I was able to heal it and tell him that I forgave him and that I loved him. That wasn't me. That was Jesus. God loves us with an inseparable love, an undying love, a love that chooses best for our lives. The word used for submit or submission is a principle that is within the experience of all believers and in all relationships. No doubt we have seen this in a position of leadership. I've seen it where in a position of leadership that's about dominance and authority. I saw it so much. But it's not true leadership. It's not biblical. It's not all about dominance. It's about humbling ourselves. What did Jesus say? Whoever would be the chief among you, Jesus, let him be your servant, your slave. What does that mean? It means I'm being willing to submit. I'm willing to submit myself to your auspices and whatever you want to do in my life. It's putting aside our own agenda. And that's got to flow into the marriage. Now, husbands, are we willing to submit, to humble, and allow ourselves to be like Christ, to be like Jesus, and to minister to the one that God has brought into our lives? You might tell me, Calvin, you need to get a grip. But as a man of God, I believe we are called to minister to our wives. Amen? Men, we are called to minister to our wives. How else can we fulfill Christ's command to love, to protect, to provide, to care for that which God has given to us? Hold fast to that which God has done. He's given to you. He's given you a wife, something to be treasured. I just look back at my own life and I'm grateful for my wife being there at my side. When I've walked through the different things that I've had to walk through, having been a pastor and a shepherd of God's flock, I just know that I've had my wife to say, now come on, Calvin, it's time to calm down. Don't get out of the spirit and into the flesh, because the flesh will sometimes just take over and you destroy people. Correct? I realize that when I look back, and this is something, if I'm sharing these things, it's what God's done in my life. I look back and think that He so reordered my life with my children. You know, stepping into that role of being a father and loving your kids. But I realized I was a product of my own family and my own situation I grew up in. I wanted my children to be perfect PKs, preacher's kids. I wanted them to be perfect. We're not perfect, we're just forgiven. And I remember when God was dealing with me, isn't it good that God deals with us? And He says, put aside all your agendas. Just lay it at the cross. Just lay it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. That's the life-changing factor. Amen. I had a strap that used to sit over the door, and it wasn't there for decoration, because that's how I was raised. Then, when God was dealing with me, for some unknown apparent reason, no one touched it. It just fell off the door. And my children scattered. Now, I'm talking to you fathers. This is something that God did in my own life. And I was praying one morning, and I said, Lord, if you want me to burn that strap, you have to take my wife and my children out of the house so I can burn it, so they don't know. And he did. They went away, they did something, and I burned it. And it's weeks and weeks, and they thought, where's the strap gone? I knew it was time then. I needed to take time to talk to my children. I still had discipline. They didn't like doing lines. I must not be cheeky to mummy. You will write that out 200 times. It's a time when God was speaking. And God is such a good God. And I am called, I believe this with all my heart, I am called to be the spiritual leader in my home. Amen. Stepping up to the plate. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. And I do wish that sometimes that God had given me a manual with the children. If he had given me a manual, look, I've got manuals galore. You ask Karen, she'll tell you. She won't lie to you. I've got a manual for this. If you go to page such and such, that's what you do and it will work. Well, there's no manual. They're all so different, aren't they? As a father, they are so different. One thing is for sure, I do have a manual. It's Emmanuel, God with me. And this is Emmanuel. And I'm to love my children and provoke them not to exasperation. And it's marriage is not about all me. And that's what we see in God's word. He says, husband, love your wives. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. Peter goes on. This is one piece I think we should look at it. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I like my prayers to be answered. Which man doesn't like his prayers to be answered? Now, there's no hands. Right, because this is what stops us from entering into what God wants to do in our lives as men and as a family unit. The good question is, it starts off, likewise, in an understanding way. Am I understanding? Am I concerned for the feelings of those in the family unit, for my wife, for my children? Am I going to put aside my own agenda? Am I going to be willing to be understanding and show honor? Why? Because we're heirs of the gracious gift of life together. Because he said, all of these things, if we're not willing to do that, you are hindering your prayers from being answered. And we could be breaking God's law and not understanding what he's saying. The big test is, that are we praying together? We always did. I thought, yeah, it's what's molded us as a family unit. I know some of my daughters haven't walked with Jesus, but I continue to pray and cry out daily for them, that they would return to the one who loves them more than me as a father. Their heavenly Father loves them with an undying love. He stepped out of eternity. Yes, you can be married together, you can be married living together, and still not be considerate of each other. It's a two-way street. Yeah, sure, there'll be tensions, there'll be adjustments, and there will always be those adjustments. You know, when we were first married, and in our first time as pastors and ministers, I thought, this was great. I've married a secretary. She will write my letters for me. I'll do the sermon, she can write all the letters. You know what? Do you know what the secretary said? What do you think she said? Tam, do you know? She said, no. She said, you write them, I'll correct the grammar. Because we have this little saying, Kramer's grammar isn't much. So I realized that, okay, I needed to step up to the plate. Didn't I? I needed to step up to the plate. Hallelujah. For a godly wife who challenged me, because I know that there's times where I've had to really tighten up there, tighten up here and there in my life, because there's areas of my life where I have to re-examine and go back and say, am I walking as I should walk? Am I walking like my Father in heaven? Am I mirroring him? To be good husbands and good fathers, to be a good grandfather, and to run the course. Stay the course. Don't quit. Don't run away. This is what we see in our society today. Fatherlessness, not stepping up to the plate, running away. Meet the problem head on. In the power of your Heavenly Father in Jesus. The biggest issue that we face, isn't it? Where dads have walked away. If you see the statistics, it's staggering. I know that what America, and I'm not sure of New Zealand statistics, but I know that in America, that 80% chance that a young man will end up in prison without a dad. 60% will be expelled from school. I think the suicide rate is staggering. It's sad. In closing, I want to talk to you. This is something about personal, where I saw it in my own family. It was my sister. It's one of the most hardest things I ever had to do as a minister, as a pastor. Her husband had left her. She had 4 children. It was a few years down the track that there was 2 of the children who tried to commit suicide. One was unsuccessful. The other was successful. And as I conducted that funeral service of my nephew, my heart grieved. My heart grieved. It was so real about the role of the dad, the role of the husband, being the man of God. O perfect Father of heaven, his throne, who gave my orphan home a heart. Hang on, sorry, let me just start again. O perfect Father of heaven, throne, who gave my orphan heart a home, treasured and designed before all time, forever claimed by your love divine, what wondrous kindness shown to me to know that I'm eternally a chosen child of God above, the perfect Father with perfect love, who gave my orphan heart a home. And one thing, as I stand before you today, I'm very grateful that for the times that I had with my earthly father and was able to heal all those things. And if it wasn't for my wife and her challenge to me, I probably would have carried on and just let him go, and I would still be grieving in my heart because I hadn't got that right. Can we have that next piece? Thank you. Just allow this to speak to you.
I can't tell you what an honor this is for me today to hear the commitment that you men are making for your faith and your families was almost overwhelming. Nathan, I'd like for you to come and stand before me, and your wife and children to stand beside me. My son in the faith, I took joy in mentoring you as a young man, and today I take joy in blessing you as a godly father. Are you ready to make this commitment before God and your family?
Yes, I am.
Then I'd like for you to repeat after me. I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
To take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
That I will take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
I'll be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
And be willing to lay down my life for her, as Christ did for me.
And be willing to lay down my life for her, as Christ did for me.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
And I will train him to honor authority and live responsibly.
I will train him to honor authority and to live responsibly.
I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy.
I will treat others with kindness, respect, and compassion.
I will work diligently, provide for the needs of my family.
I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those who I have wronged.
I will walk in integrity as a man answerable to God.
I will seek to honor God, obey his word, and do his will.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Now that each of you has committed to live by this resolution, I bless you in the name of the Lord. But I also have a warning for each of you. Now that you know what you are to do and have committed to do it before God and these witnesses, you are doubly accountable. Let me also assure you that you may have confidence in this resolution and your resolve now, because as you stand here, there's no challenge, no controversy, and no conflict. But I can assure you that challenges will arise, conflicts will arise, and controversy will arise. It is at that moment that in order to live out this resolution, you will need courage. Courage, courage.
There's something about it, isn't there? As men, are we prepared to step up to the plate? Allow God to do something in our lives. Are you a godly man? This is the thing you've got to ask yourself in your own hearts. Are you a godly man? Well, this morning I believe God can speak and minister to you. Maybe you might want to come and we'll pray. God can heal. Because his word says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning that you're our Father in heaven. And you care about us. And you care about what you've created, Lord. About the husband and wife and family. And Lord, we would pray for our nation today. We would pray for this nation of New Zealand, Aotearoa, that you would move from Kaitaia to the Bluff. And that there would be fathers who would be prepared to step up to the plate and be the man of God that they should be. Because it's when the men of God step up to the plate, Lord, that the family unit becomes a unit. The authority that you placed upon the men. Oh God, move in our nation. Move in our nation. Pour out your spirit on this land. May it be like a mighty wave. Lord, this is where we cry and pray before you, Jesus, for you to do this work in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, and in our nation, in our cities, in our towns. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.